Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming. The dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason. I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tweet Discussions here on Blog Talk Radio. Wrapped up in all of that is All Poetry. And inside of All Poetry is a lovely group called Team of Voices, sponsored by AP Folk Poetry, the AP Poetry Foundation. Yes, I can talk. We are a group of poets who love to discuss all aspects of poetry and language, words that become sentences, sentences that become poems, and poems that affect the world. Welcome, everybody. Tonight we are doing a special little thing called The Rest of the Story, started by Paul Harvey way back when. But this has got to do with a couple of poems that I wrote, and I welcome poets to go ahead and finish out or start a piece or do something with some of the poems that I did. So I'm very excited about that. I've got some people in my studio. We're going to say hi to real quick. Our opening song was by our own poet, the Mad Hatter, Jay Hatter, and sung by Shout Even Shy. Come aboard, look at All Poetry, and go ahead and read those great lyrics. And anytime you want to hear it, fire it up and listen to it by Shout Even Shy. I love that tune. And very, very egotistically, narcissistically get to say, hey, I know the guy that wrote that. I get to welcome first AP Taylor. How are you tonight?
Hi. Good. How are you?
I'm good. And then we get to say hello to the man that follows me everywhere, thank God, because he keeps me in line, Raconteur.
To the view. Hello.
Yeah, the blind guy likes the view. I love that. And hello, Sky. How are you? Is that Sky? Watch, I'm going to be totally wrong. It's not Sky. Dang it, one of these days. All right, Hatter.
Yes.
It is Hatter. Good job. See, I got it right. The guy that wrote the song that I know. Hello, how are you, darling?
I'm fine. I know the guy that wrote that song.
I know. Isn't he fabulous? And the one and only Deb. Hello, Deb. How are you?
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey. So we are going to start right away with Mr. AP Taylor because he's waiting for a ride. So slap yourself up on the board, sir, and let's go.
I have, and this is Deb and Sweet and Hatter and Rack. Following on from the Chicago poem. This is Seers, Towers, Enchantress, and it goes a little bit like this. She smiles as she stretches to her full height. The heavy mantle clocks strike to inform of not just a new hour, but to signal the dawn of a new day. Her red dress lies glittering on the armoire, its full luster glowing on the tan skin of her chosen minion for the eve. Dark black manicured hair aimed towards her, his face reflecting back off her sharp pointed high heel shoes. He is awaiting instructions. She inspects each part carefully, observing the manicured edges of skin, cologne and wax that manifest as a suitor. Her auburn tresses tease down to the straps of her crimson brassiere that in turn connects with delicate trim past her waist. On to the matched stockings below. Between lie the threads of her pale alabaster. And while the devil went down to Georgia and there are Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia, not just any man gets to rappel these ruby-laced ravines. Still, there may be snow in parking spaces out front, yet not any suit can lay dibs to these curves. So she stretches out on the wide bed and smiles as she slowly and carefully unfastens the rear-facing clips of her lingerie. Then she directs her suitor towards the door into a windy city morn, as pleasure is found not just in the tasting, but in what we elect to return to the icy depths of Lake Michigan.
Oh, wow. Well, well, well. I love the last line, by the way, as pleasure is found, not just in the tasting, but what we elect to return to the icy depths of Lake Michigan. Well, 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 isn't she just that kind of lady? She definitely is. This is fabulous. I really like this dark black manicured hair aimed towards her, his face reflecting back off her sharp pointed high heel shoes. You just strike her as so vividly beautiful and vicious and yet so kind. So, so kind to let her be what she is. I love how you finished off her story as the Sears Tower Enchantress. I think that's just beautiful. Out the door you go and back down into the lake, especially from that high tower. But just stunningly well done. I love the imagery. I love how you just make her into this, you know, gorgeous creature and just dismissing all that come to see her. I really love the rest of this story. Deb, your thoughts?
I think this is really awesome. I like the play on words, like the devil went down to Georgia and yeah, it was just it had like just enough of the sensual undertones to keep you hanging on every word, and again, I can't get past that part. Really cracks me up. The devil went down to Georgia, but the rest is like really hot, and then the end there, I think you touched on it already, Sweet, but what we elect to return to the icy depths of Lake Michigan, which is a nice ending and a nice tie-in. And I think that between those two poems, watch out.
Thank you, your thoughts.
I really enjoyed this, AP. Your descriptions were absolutely spot on. It had a sort of a noir feel, which I know Sweet likes to generate a lot of the time when she writes, so it fit perfectly with her piece as well. But, I mean, your descriptions were absolutely perfect. You know, very easy to just fall into exactly what you were talking about and be there in that moment. And you know, of course she's dismissing him because, you know, unworthy. Anyway.
That's it. Thank you, Rex.
Perfect.
And Hatter,
thank you very much.
Your thoughts. Real quick, because AP's got an Uber.
Unmute, Hatter.
Did you intend to rhyme the last line, AP?
No, it just happened that way, Hatter. They slip out even when I'm not meaning to.
Yeah. No, it's cleverly done.
Yeah.
That stood out. Nice piece.
No, thank you. Thanks again. Thank you.
That is awesome. All right, so are you going to go now? Are you running?
I am, Sweet. So thank you, and thank you for putting me in shortly and quickly, and great poem, and we will talk very soon.
Not a problem. Have a great one. I'll talk to you soon.
Cheers,
okay, cheers. Okay, bye.
Cheers. Bye. That was awesome. I have a really unspecial story to tell you. So as I was typing one letter at a time, because of my very four burned fingers, I got a phone call. I took the phone call. I came back, and I hit, Blog Talk Radio, I got to check the time, da, da, da. But guess what I didn't do to my six stanza poem?
You didn't upload it.
I didn't upload it. I didn't save it as a draft. I didn't do anything. Okay. It's gone. It went away. I do not have a poem tonight.
Well, I'm sorry, but I beg to differ because I was actually going to ask you to read the poem that AP just wrote to, because, like, I wrote to it too, and it seems to be a very popular one, and it just happens to be on the chat wall.
Okay, but the poem I wrote, my second story to this, it did not happen, and I felt really bad, but I will read.
Did you try the back thing?
I did. It's just not there.
Okay.
But this is Chicago Devil. There's a New York state of mind to survive. Sexual heat in the blue jazz notes of New Orleans. Chicago would let you lay down with the devil and smile. She sat with the orange glow light of her cigarette burning to ash. A Scarlett O'Hara damsel in distress. Screw you kind of story. Wrong fairy tale. The stain burns her candle at both ends. Her red dress flowed like fire dancing in flames across her on the bench. The curve of her spoken sighs of dissatisfaction as she watched the world scream in silence at her existence. Bored by the hunt of witches of all sizes and conditions, dying to own the power of her Dorothy Ruby Slippers attitude. Jokes on you, sisters. Mirrors eat green-eyed monsters, bitches. Men of desperation hide in the shadows. She eats pretenders, the heartbroken, brainwashed, and the weak she devours. Drinking sweet cherry wine, she leaves them all thirsty. Listening to the whispers of monsters behind bathroom doors, and slender hands sometimes weigh her down. Her blue eyes quiver, but her teardrops always freeze before they fall. But she used that red dress as a weapon, setting fire to that room. Connie, with a wink, she whispers sweet nothings and takes it all for Chicago. You can lay down with the devil and smile. End poem.
Oh, yeah. See, that's why everybody chose, well, a lot of people chose that. And that's why you are amazing, and that's why people were like, wow, that was awesome, give me more, give me more. But she used that red dress as a weapon. I love that. I could go to each stanza and pick it apart to point out brilliance, but like, come on, Dorothy's red slippers, attitude, too cool. Where was that? You know how you can't find stuff when you, we'll go anywhere. The curve of her spoke in size of dissatisfaction as she watched the world scream in silence at her existence. The tone that you set there, jokes on you, sister, mirrors eat green-eyed monsters, bitches. I like the attitude, the visuals, the metaphors in here, the nod to the green-eyed monsters in those bitches. I mean, you know, you're packed with brilliance. And before I ask somebody else for a comment, you got Stephen and Sky, if you want to let them in, say hi.
Yeah, I've got Stephen already on the board because I know he has to read and run. So I'm going to say hi to both of them. Hi, Stephen. Hi, Sky. How are you?
Good.
And
hello.
And how about we get a comment from Raconteur for Sweet? You're not getting out of comment, Sweet. Stephen's got one extra.
Yeah, on the surface, you may be writing about, you know, the state of Chicago, but it sounds more like the state of arousal, you know. and you seem to be insatiable, so, you know, that definitely wasn't a brevity. It could have went on. You know, you permanently cement your seat as the queen, and we are but mere worshippers.
Oh, please.
Yes, that we
Thank
are,
you.
That we are. And I don't know if our twoest new additions got to hear it, but I know Hatter heard it. Hatter, comment for Sweet.
Yeah, it, where is it? The power of a single lady sitting in a lounge is a... Yeah, I mean, it's a, not a magnet, but a gravitational force. Let's go it that way. So you did well describing it, I thought.
Thank you.
And like I said, I'm pretty sure that Stephen and Sky just got here. So, Stephen, if you want to read for Sweet, and Sweet, take your mic back, doll.
Thank you. I know Stephen warned me that he was going to be in a place to go, so that would be great. So, buddy.
Yeah.
Hi, how you doing? And you're ready to go.
I'm good. Yeah, and
okay.
I do want to thank you for featuring my Argo in your topic folder. I appreciate that.
Oh, you are the
definitely.
Best at continuation of poems. I love that series.
Thank you. I do want to say that I do apologize, as this is not a continuation to your poem, Summer Camp Counselor, more of an answer, because as I've been telling everybody, I've been really busy just writing my stories lately rather than poetry. So rather I answered that poem with a poem about a couple of movies that take place at summer camps. And I call this little
That's
brevity
fine.
Summer Camp. And I call this Summer Camp? No, thank you. Those accidents of broken screens and hives of bees and stalls, boiling corn does blister skin upon stepladder fall. Campers lay in cots at night while arrows pierce their necks. Kill them, mommy dearest, please, and send to lake a wreck. End poem.
Why do we go to summer camp? I mean, that is a good question, because after all the movies, why would any mother put their child on a bus and tell them, I'll see you, maybe I'll see you, maybe you'll meet a guy in a mask. Bye-bye. Yeah. Why do any of us go to summer camp? I love that. That's a great answer. I love it. That's great. Oh, my goodness. Rack, your thoughts.
Yeah, I love the reference. Like, Mommy Dearest, I don't think that could have been any more appropriate. I mean, that just kind of stole the whole thing for me. But, you know, it was an all-inclusive poem.
Thanks, Rick.
Yeah. And I will tell you, the image that you put up there with the guy with his hands getting burned, I am, FYI, having nightmares right now because my hands are burned. And, oh, my God, it hurts so bad. So thank you for that lovely image. Deb, your thoughts?
Oh, gosh, now that you just broke my heart. Stephen, this is really awesome. I love the title. It made me giggle. And then by the time you were done, I agree. Why would anybody ever send their kid to summer camp? It's like between Camp Crystal Lake and sleepaway camp and everything in between, you get burned and bit by bees and chopped into pieces, and I could go on. And then you have, like, these sweet apple pie-making moms like this one that wind up butchering you. I mean, yeah, great way to nod to the summer camps, for sure. It was a fun share, Stephen.
Thanks, Deb.
I want to note that I lived in Crystal Lake, and I lived on Elm Street, and I'm still alive, just so you know. all right. Guy, your thoughts?
Well, speaking of Argo really quick, I just want to let you know, Stephen, I just rolled a nat 20, so that's exciting, because that's what I do. I just roll my dice here. This is excellent. I like the way that you went with this, and you talk about this film. And, of course, this is just if she's awake and she's having nightmares, she's having awake mares, right? Is that a thing? Because you just made her have a thing. So that's pretty cool. And, yeah, I don't want to go camping, for sure. Campers lay the cots out at night while they cross the piers and their necks. And I loved how you threw in the Mommy Dearest in there, of course, because she was the real one in the first one. So I love that you still play homage to that. So really well done. Blistering the skin. We're all having trauma right now. Thanks. Excellent poem.
Thank you.
Oh, Ragantor, your thoughts?
I can add to what I said, actually. Stephen has a way of including everybody, and I'm going to plug his book for him and say you might recognize a few souls in the pages of his book.
Cool. I'm very excited about that too. I am so super excited and just like super proud of you and just way over the top for you about your books. Just congratulations. I can't say it enough.
You're in
so that
it.
You know.
You're in it.
Yeah, I don't. Okay. unaware of that, but I have to check them all out and get them all. So very excited about that. Where am I going? I can't. Yeah, I lost my train of thought. Hatter, your thoughts. That's where I'm at.
Unmuted.
Yeah. Who sends their kid to summer camp? The only you get sent to summer camp. Nobody wants to go. I mean, that's how it's portrayed. We went to a ranch 2 weeks in the summer, and it was a gas. I mean, we had a great time. So summer camp was never that bad, I didn't think. Is that Chris Farley?
Yeah.
In that who's the guy that burns his hands? Looks like
oh,
it's Chris
oh,
Farley.
Yeah.
That's from a movie from like the early 80s called Sleepaway Camp. That's not Chris Farley. Looks like
no,
him.
Okay.
It does.
And everybody, welcome. Wayne Jett. Hello, Wayne.
Hello, Wayne. Hey, how you doing?
Doing good.
The original
Wayne,
the original camper's nightmare.
Yeah, this is my camping nightmare.
I just got time to sit down just now, so I don't have anything for the show. I'm just going to listen. Sorry, I'm just going to hang in and listen.
Oh, you have plenty for my show. I did a summer camp poem. You've got so many summer camp poems, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I can find one of those. I said I can't find one.
But yours are pretty bad summer camp poems, so I'd have to watch which one you brought, you know. I don't know what you do in summer camp.
You do one of those.
Yeah, that's craziness.
There's a new rating system after R and X. It's rated Wayne Jett.
Wayne Jett. WJ. WJ. Rated WJ. Everybody hide their children. Oh, that's fabulous. Thank you for bringing it, Stephen. I really, really love it. I think it's great. And, yeah, I Argo is one of my favorite series, and now I get to go through and read some of this more stuff so that I can go through and figure out what I'm going to write for next Thursday.
There you go.
That he's a ranger. I'm very excited about that. Yes. Happiness. So I don't know if you can stick around or you got to go or what's ever going on there, but we'll find out.
Yeah, I gotta get to bed. Big day tomorrow.
All right. Yes. Well, it's only 8:30. I know it's 10:30 there. So have fun in Ohio.
Yeah, have fun in Colorado.
I will. Bye.
Good night.
All right. So, good night, guys. Let's see. Where am I at? I'm trying to get back to where am I? I don't know.
Wyoming.
I don't know. No, I'm not in Wyoming. I'm not in Wyoming this week, please. All right. Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. Bye. So I should probably read, now that somebody wrote summer camp, I will read summer camp. All right. Because summer camp is just hilarious to me. But, oh, summer camp is funny. But I don't know why you guys, I got more from Chicago than summer camp. I don't know why, but we can only imagine. All right. Here we go. Summer camp counselor. White shadows dance and yellow waves as red flares glare from the slash veins of blue flames. Sit with me as campfire themes and plots thicken, as tales of hooks tear body parts from faceless lips and headless horsemen stallions neigh. Ebony clouds hide moonlight's grin, the howls of wolves are silent. Crickets have lost the lyrics of their songs. Listen to the nothingness. For here come the stories of the dead. Curly-haired, spoiled female flesh giggles in the onyx night as her urine dribbles, as alabaster fingers come crawling out of the dirt, tap, tap, tapping on the edge of her silk slippers. Men in boys' skins trapped in cotton bags, under the stars start dry rubbing boxer shorts, breathe, as witches cackle and swing from nooses in the trees above them. Icicles hiss as glowing ember logs sizzle in protest at their early execution, the stabbing and burning ritual of marshmallows lay in the gruesome pile of broken lumber. The fire dies as the sun wakes all evilness of the campfire. Fables fade and fear crawls back into the dark. I retract my claws and lick myself clean. Stretching my face toward the sun, I pick the bones of a young listener from the back of my teeth. I smile. Telling campfire stories is my favorite activity. I love my job. and story.
Yeah. Don't go to Sweet's summer camp. Just saying. Sweet, I don't know if you noticed, but aside from the giant OMG in my comment, it drove me to say four-letter words that I can't say on a PG-13 show. after I said that, this is too cool for words. You're amazing. And of course, it's on my inner darkness, and it's on my best of Sweet list because, like, you got these chill bump-worthy graphics going on here in your details and your visuals, and you're I'm sitting here thinking of times that I've sat around a bonfire and heard stories, and I was how relieved I am that they didn't go like the ones in your story. I love my job. Oh, boy. Great one. Now, let's see. Wayne, you want to comment for Sweet?
It was a very good poem. I was looking for me a poem to put in there, so I didn't get to read along with it. But it sounded pretty good, so it was a pretty rough time. It's camp to me. So I enjoyed the poem very good, and I didn't keep up as much because I wasn't reading along with you. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. How about Sky?
Sweet, you like read that a little too, like it was like in the category of sensual reading. The way you were writing, and I was like, is this a story or something? I was really torn on the way that you were writing it and the way that the words were coming out. And I was like, she really loves her job. Oh my goodness! So let's just say that right off the bat. I thought this was really. My brain was struggling to separate the two because I'm like, what's happening? Like I was being drawn in, but I was like, no, don't go there. Don't go there. This is a crazy woman. this is just, I mean, I'm glad that camping season's over. And I did have one more camping trip in September planned, but I'm glad that it got canceled because, I don't want to go now, you know. But I love the way you describe it. Especially down to the stabbing and the burning ritual. The marshmallows lay on the gruesome pile of broken lumber. Like I can just picture the scene with all the details in it. And oh, this one too. The tap tap tapping on the edge of her silk slippers. Freaky. And then when you start to talk about this part right here, I really love this part. I pick the bones of young listener from the back of my teeth. Like they're the victims. Like these just, let's come around, dearies. Like I can just picture this, like, you know, it's just this like crowing kind of person just like, come around, my dearies. Come listen to my story, like grandma in the gingerbread house, right? Like, come in and eat my sweets, and then death to everybody. Brilliant. Really well done. Don't go near the gingerbread house or the campfire. Awesome. Like, they're both off limits now.
All right. Awesome comment. And I totally agree, Sky. There's some kind of contrast that hits your brain when she reads with those sultry, warm tone she's got going, and then hits us with the kind of stuff that was in that poem, or like poems where she cuts her twin's head off and then eats her for dinner type of stuff. So, you know, what a contrast. Raconteur, what do you think?
you know that expression, if you enjoy what you do, you never have to work a day in your life. You know, that comes to mind. I could hear the pleasure in your voice as you read what you did. And I would certainly trust you with my kids for summer camp because, you know, I don't know that I necessarily want them to come back. No. sometimes they get on your nerves, and that could be the answer as to why they go to summer camp, you know. The parents want to get rid of them for a little while. You just take that a little to the extreme. And there's your cautionary tale.
Well, you know, that's an awesome comment. And I was just thinking, Rack, that because our generation has been hit with so many of these summer camp things, you got to wonder if that's part of why the percentage of kids that get sent to summer camp has dropped so drastically. Just curious. Heather, what do you think?
I liked it. You know, nowadays, like you said, it'd probably have to be politically correct and all sort of wokeism and at camp. But there was a time where several of my uncles and my family went camping. We pretty much dominated the whole campground. And at night in our camp, which was I had some friends come up. So we were in high school. We had the young cousins come over into our camp, and we started telling spooky stories, which they wanted, right? Well, I told one of my friends to disappear, go make some noises out in the dark, you know, away from the fire. Well, he did such a good job that all the little kids went screaming back to his parents' camp, and I had to sort of mosey on over and explain why seven of my little cousins were screaming.
Oh, that's great.
I was a favorite nephew from a lot of my aunts and uncles, but until that time, it was like nothing I could say to traumatize my cousins, you know. So it reminded me of that.
That's fabulous.
Sweet did mention urine-soaked underwear, so
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right, Deb, I am dying to hear you read this. I have not read it. I've looked at the title, and I am so ready for you.
Oh, cool. I've been waiting for this one, too. I love your poem, Chicago Devil, so it was just like it was a no-brainer for my choice. And this is called The Sweet Chi-Town She the Guys. And here we go. Sensual heat floats over the air in the nightclub, blended in the scent of grapefruit candle wax and the aroma of her spice citrus perfume. The piano man tickles the blues on 88 keys with 10 fingers flying and a big grin flashing. As the cigarette smoke rings swirl over the air, she sits in a black corner booth in the shadows, sipping cherry wine with her stilettos tapping. Her crimson silk dress glitters from the light. On the tabletop sits markers for her drinks that all the men in the club send over. A stack of markers triggers her slanted grin. Sweet Ruby's hair shines from the candle flame, shimmering as barbitch flesh tints green, pea green, from all the guys that sit and gawk at Sweet. Men stare but do not dare walk up to her. Then she winks, and the men race to her table, shoving and nudging to get up to her table first. Women in the nightclub storm out in a collective huff, whispering and whimpering, then Sweet laughs as teardrops roll down their greening cheeks. Big hands cling to Sweet's curves and dance. Piano man taps jazz blues, then bodies move. But alcohol masked her pocket maneuvers. Stopping at her table and sipping from her drink, wallets and cash are dropped into her red tote. Every man lines up for the dance and grab. That tote overflows with the sticky finger loot. In her last dance, fingertips slide over handcuffs, so she heads to the powder room to powder her nose in the ladies' room. Officer Bob grabs a shot as he waits for the she-devil. She leaves him holding his shit and skip town out of the side door with her loot and poem.
Oh, my God. This is great. This is fabulous. Oh, my God. I love this poem. I mean, I love this poem. This is fabulous. This is perfect. I can't wait for him to read this. This is great.
I'm glad.
He'll get a kick out of this.
It just seems
too
perfect.
Oh, what a great story.
You know? I'm glad you liked it, my sweet. I just wanted to hear you laugh like that.
Oh, yeah, this is really good. I will tell you, the story I wrote was we kind of took the same gangster thing. My story was along the baseline where she was married to cop and Damien gangster, and they eventually just killed each other for her. She took the gangster money and the cop money. So, oh, this is a great storyline. I really enjoy it. Ragatour, your thought?
Yeah. Well, Justice Arts, I think, it should have been the title of that one. Nice. Nicely done. Pickpocket.
Thank you, Brad.
Wayne, your thought?
Yeah, I said, I think I like this lady. She knows how to make money. She devil. She's hot. She can dance, too. Wow. And a bit of pickpocket, that's a little extra benefit. I like this lady. She's a good poem, and right away I enjoyed Deb. Sweet.
Thank you so much, Wayne.
Awesome. Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, Deb can't help but be sensual in her, how she writes.
Girl can't help it.
Officer Bob. And it's all about that extra tick, isn't it? Tick, tock, tick. He leaves him holding his nightstick.
Yes, it is.
Clever.
Awesome. Thank you, Heather.
That's great. And Miss Sky, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was great. You know, I love the story. So you did a really good job with pacing the storyline and putting the details in it. And I love that you brought Sweetin in, of course, and then, you know, the Piano Man tickles the blues. You bring in that beautiful scenic, you know, the cigarette smoke rings, the swirl over the air. It just has this nuance in it, you know, sipping the cherry wine with her stilettos tapping. So, I mean, you don't miss any detail. So if somebody's sitting there and they're reading this and they're, you know, they're closing their eyes between each bits or and imagining, you know, that you're just providing such a wonderful setting and a scene setting and just the details of what's happening. I mean, sometimes I read a book and I think I watched the movie. It happens a lot, actually. And and I can picture the scene and I'm like, oh, yeah, it's because I was so engaged in the scene of the book and there was so much detail that I swear I remember seeing it, but it was because it was just so full of detail that I thought I was visually seeing it when I was just, you know, it was just, you know, either I listened to audiobook or I'm reading it and your brain just clings to details like that. At least mine does. So when I read a poem like this with such detail again and the nuance and they're doing not only what their people are doing in it, but again what's happening around it, the color of the shoes, the smoky room. I just love that. I think it's great. I think it brings so much to poetry and to storytelling. And you did this. It looks like you had a lot of fun with it. It sounded like you had a lot of fun with it, and Sweet definitely got a kick out of it. So really well done.
Thank you, Sky. I appreciate that. And I definitely had fun with it. It was fingers crossed and planning on hearing her laugh coming from the Maha City. So,
absolutely.
Glad it was.
So, Deb, I know you have to go and do your thing, but will you throw Wayne in the on the board or in the bed where he belongs for me? Blech.
I can do that. Yes,
I can.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well,
you
know,
yeah, that's what I need. And let's see.
Sweet cherry wine.
Not a problem. I'm getting it in there now, and I'll put a message on the chat. Well, it'll be there in 60 seconds.
Okay. I am going to throw up Sky on the board. I mean, not Sky, Hatter. Sorry. I'm going to put Hatter on the board. Hatter, are you ready to read?
Yes, I am.
All right, you are on the board.
Okay, I wrote to the camp one too, I believe, and one clever bovine. It goes like this. The boys all woke to a curdling stream. The plans of their days are what might seem to be the reason the camp is in disarray, the story goes on that tragic day. The vehicles rendered and emptied of fuel, tires slashed with a spreading tool. Left with no weapons to defend themselves, staring the banshees and evil tree elves. Keeping a fire to ward off cows, wild they roam, but still somehow they always find their way back home. With Sasquatch and buddies, you are never alone. Throwing sticks to fetch the cows retrieve, like Chesapeake labs that always please. One vacant tent will be found. Billy's missing and there's no trace around. Blood in his bedding, and what's most upsetting is Billy is only 8. Yelling his name echoes the same, fearing for Billy's fate. Goblins and ghosts, but what fears the most, the feared the most, is the knocking at their doors. Nobody's there. Are you aware somebody's keeping score? Keeping the secrets in a little grain sack, testing the waters for a frontal attack, watching the clues for the soles of their shoes in search of a guilty sign. All are convinced of being witches and one of a clever bovine. Moo.
You have to moo. I love this. This is great. I thought thank you. I am one clever bovine, and this is a fabulous poem. Left with no weapons to defend themselves, hearing the banshees and evil trees elf. Keeping a fire to ward off the cows while they roam, but still somehow they always find their way back home. The Sasquatch and the Yetis, you're never alone. Because nobody fears the goblins and ghosts, but God bless that cow. Watching for
cows. Yes,
on the
hey,
roof,
evil cow.
Roaming cows is scary.
It's one clever cow. Yeah, poor cows. Don't hang the witches, but burn up the cows. I like it. I really do. I think that's great. This is fabulous. I like the camp that's afraid of the cows. I'm one clever bovine. This is really good. I like the camp counselor and everybody's afraid. This is fabulous. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Wayne, your thoughts?
I thought this was great. It's funny as hell. It's a great line. It's actually where they're reading lines over because you say that. I said, actually, you shouldn't have said that. But it's a great line. You hear it all like throwing sticks to fetch, the cows and trees, like Chesapeake labs, they always please. That's cool as hell. You guys did a great line with this. Great job, Hatter. Yeah, I like it a lot. Good job.
Thank you, man.
And Rack and Tour.
I love the twist at the end. You know, I wasn't expecting a cow to make an appearance. the story was great. You know, love the rhyme as usual. I was waiting for you to give her some chocolate so she could give us some chocolate milk.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Like what makes happy cows?
Yeah.
Earthquakes in California? Milkshakes?
Well, she is outstanding in her field.
Oh, good Lord. Enough of the puns. Yeah, your thought.
Well, they were pretty punny. Just kidding, you know it. No one even laughed at mine. Wow. Thanks, guys.
I did. I was on mute.
I was on mute.
My dogs are barking.
Wow. Wow.
Me too.
Oh, tough crowd.
Me
this
too.
Was a great poem. I love that you went with the bovine. You definitely made it more personal, more geared towards Sweet, and I think that's very sweet. And I think with the Sasquatch and the Yetis, the Yetis, and that's like, I don't even, you've got everything here. I'm like, you've literally got everything. It was dark, it was fun, it was silly, and it was clever and definitely punny. Really well done.
Did you say punny? Very punny?
Punny. Funny, but pun.
Yeah.
He's like, okay.
Thank you.
Not funny if I have to explain it, Hatter.
I'm hanging out on mute talking away because my dogs were barking and now I'm like
end about to say end comment.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe I should talk now. Oh, wait. I was. Nobody's, like, everybody's just silent. I'm like, why is everybody so quiet? Nobody's talking to me. Duh. All right. Here we go. This is going to be Miss Sky Sky.
Perfect.
All right, here we go.
All right.
So, did the cow jump over the moon?
There's no cow in here. This is what happened. I did not write a part two to your poem, but I was told this was okay. It is a part two to something that other people wanted me to write a part two to, and I'm really bad at writing part twos, or I get really distracted. So I agree with you, Sweet. It's, you start on this idea, and you have this wonderful idea, and then you want to do it, but you just never get around to it. I can relate to that a lot. Because I have tons of stories that I start that I never finish. So, you know, troubles of the artist, right? So this is one of them that I actually did write a part two. And the part one is in the link. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're going to have to read part one. This is called Eliza Otto by Sky Dark Home. I heard of the artificer's daughter, the sage, the scholar of the old clocksmith. I met him once in the ironworks of my uncle's industrial plant. It was just before the rumors of his disappearance began to surface. He was a graying gentleman, a bandolier wrapped over shoulder, riddled with chronometers. His thick scent of cigarillos mingled with bronzing gears and petroleum distillate, a smell that was to me like a second skin. He came for an exchange before my uncle's death. My uncle dealt with many dealings, off-the-book dealings, but this one, this buttoned box with the gilt of gold, framed in jewels with an aeronaut's crest, it left me curious. My place was in a salvage port. I learned to appraise quite young what could be reused, what was bound for the incinerators, and, of course, who would buy such items that could be repaired and sold in the underground of black markets? The ironworks was a substantial business, but it was a salvage operation that engineered our wealth. I remember the old clocksmith because it was the first time my uncle kept me out of his exchange. A few days later, he was murdered, and when I heard of the clocksmith's strange and unusual disappearance a few days after that, I thought it no mere coincidence. So on the day that Clarette stood in the door frame of my office, thin-jawed, dimpled lines, perhaps of a time when smiles came easier, I was not taken by surprise. At first glance, she reminded me of a neophyte intelligencer, narrow-eyed and intent on finding answers. I knew why she was there, but the truth was I hadn't any answers, only a handful of tasseled leads with seemingly dead ends. But I wasn't about to tell her that. End poem. So at least it's not a cliffhanger too. So maybe part three will come. I don't know.
I was gonna say this is not done. This is not finished.
I know. But it's part two. I told you I'm terrible at finishing stories, and I know where this one's going too. I just didn't.
This is brilliant. And definitely, this is like a story. You know, people that are really good at it have you know, books in their heads and things that need to keep going and things that do keep going. And, it's crazy. Bye, Mr. J. Hatter. We adore you. And that's what I like about it. I really like to see that grow. And, you know, I'm horrible at it. I'm like a one-story poet, and I move on, and I have people to tell me, no, you're not, because I do have a couple of three-series poems out there, and I can do it. I just, they come to me like years apart, like, oh, that's what he was going to do. Oh, yeah, that's maybe what she should have been doing. But rarely do I have anything that's like a series back together, like Argo. And I think it's amazing that people that can do that, but I don't. So I really appreciate you bringing this to me.
Thank you. You know, you got to have, like, people that, like, kick you in the pants. Like, Steven said, oh, when is your next D&D show so I can write the next one? So, like, I just do my D&D show so people continue on with their story. I also love it. But,
that's amazing.
You know, yeah. Thank you, sweet.
You're welcome. All right. Rakentor, your thoughts? Oh, Rakentor dropped. So I have Wayne.
Yes. I said, this is wonderful. Why did the cocksmith get murdered? He said, you were just so wonderfully, I was captivated by the way it reads. There are so many questions. When's part three coming out? I'm on the front row seat. This is great. I enjoyed the whole thing. It's amazing. You're the one for reading this.
Thank you, Wayne.
That's awesome.
Part
right,
one is
so
from a different character's perspective. It's from Claret's perspective.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
All right. So, Wayne, you are going up on the board.
Well,
I get you there.
I don't know if I'm as dark as y'all was dark tonight, but it's a little dark.
All right. Hold on. Let me get you, and I'll get your SoundCloud started. And then I only have two more, which hopefully I'll send you one, and you can help me read, little lady, Sky.
I can do that if there's one more. I do have to pick. I do have to take care of a 5-month-old in the morning, but I will stay
okay.
on as long as we're not here until 12. But everybody left you
no,
here.
I
so
think
I'm,
we might be here until like 9:20. I only have 2 poems left, and I need you to read one of them. So
okay, great. That's great. That's great. Yeah.
All right. Let me start
the
audio. Like I said, I feel so bad because I haven't been around for anything. Okay. Get out of here. Let me refresh my studio. And then I will have Wayne set up. All right. Here we go, Wayne. You ready? Let's go.
I'm ready.
This is called A Boy Scout is Helpful, Friendly. I remember camping at Boy Scout Jamboree, sitting around the campfire, too scared to pee. 120 scouts, all bigger than me, looked like monster behind every tree. Didn't do nothing. They kept calling me names just because I said didn't like their stupid games. Four tied me up and hung me from a branch. Swore if I got down, I'd get even if I had a chance. Next night, I was covered with blanket and beat on. No one saw anything. It was like I was alone. Then they grabbed me and threw me in the lake. Felt embarrassed. It was more than I could take. Laid in my tent, read manual on survival outdoors. You can't go home, and there are no stores. Said, have to have water and good food to eat. You have to eat berries, plants, mushrooms, no meat. Told of mushrooms that would make you ill. Upset stomach, headache, fever you'd feel. Never knew new place patch grew. Hadn't been touched to poison the others. Wouldn't need much. About midnight, I got bagged, snuck out of tent, walked really quiet. No one knew where I went. Found patch, started picking shrooms. In the moonlight, they resembled old tombs. When the air turned cold, I saw darkness with green eyes. Three large, dark, evil creatures were quite a surprise. Didn't move, didn't make sound, didn't look back. Before I knew it, they had begun their attack. They went tent to tent, shredding sleeping scouts, few that woken, knew no one to hear the shouts. In campfire light, I saw arms, legs, and bloody head. I was thinking I was glad, I decided to get out of bed. We had 30 Boy Scouts that made up our troop. After the massacre, I was the only one left in the group. I lay down, stayed quiet, rest of the night, early next morning. Couldn't believe the gruesome sight. Went to mess tent, took candy bars, no need to pay. I was not too smart, but I knew I couldn't stay. Never thought I'd like to see a dead kid. After seeing dead bullies, I knew that I did. Ian?
Okay. Good job.
That went too dark.
Very good Boy Scout camp story. What do you want to do?
We have a nice campsite.
It was a very nice campsite, and I'm glad you survived. At least you didn't kill anybody I know or anything like that. You know, you were good.
I try to be.
God, the detail in this is crazy. I love how you do that. I love how you work at it. I love the way you were monotone and serious the whole time. You had such a deep story to tell, and like your friends are getting slaughtered, and everything's going on around you, and all of that's going on. That's crazy. That was you did good with this one. This was like, there was no, like usually you're giddy, you have that nice tone of voice, but this one you were like so serious and everything was going on and everything's amazing, and I really like how you did that.
Had a candy bar.
Yeah, you had to have that candy bar, damn it. What did you think, Sky?
Oh my gosh. You know, when you go down to the, no one knew where I went, found a patch, started picking the shrooms at midnight. They resemble the tombs. Oh, I really like that part. And then when you get down to the creature, you know, and then the slaughter, and then this one's like, lay down, play dead. They won't notice you're there. When everybody's dead in the morning, you'll still be alive. What a hero, Wayne. What a hero. And then it was an interesting turn with the bullies at the end. It was definitely slow to rise. You know, what do they call those slow burns, right, that you go through and you're just like living in the moment, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh boy, like these Boy Scouts, not happening. Really well done. I really, really enjoyed the read.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. That was incredible. So did you pick one?
Yeah, I did. JCA, because that's the one that I read. So that's the one I pre-read. So
okay.
That's the one I would. Is that what you want me to do now? Is that you want me to read JCA?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, this is really cool. I pre-read it, so I very much enjoyed it. I didn't pre-read Pee Wee, so that's why I picked this one. So, this
okay.
is called Down the Street.
And I
gotta
get
Chicago.
It on the board.
Oh, sorry, I thought I was
no,
like
I didn't
obeying.
Get it on the board. I sent it to you, but I didn't put it on the board yet.
Oh.
I was very, very good with you, but that doesn't mean I was good with the rest of them.
A bit.
You know. All right. That was a great story, Wayne. It's got me creeping out now.
I would tell you over a year ago.
Yeah. That's
and
got me creeping out.
I want to go camping. All right. Down the Street in Chicago by JCA. Another drab onyx drenched midnight in Chicago, the cough-coated and porcelain throat somewhere beneath the misty fall air. She fumbled in the cotton overcoat pockets for the brass flat keys and her physician's private tincture, sharp mixture of codeine and whiskey, lock clicked, and the cavities of her skull flashing of her deceased husband, flashes of her deceased husband danced, marriage, sickness, death, full of a man struck down, gone. She now swags at the velvet lounge, dreading being a spinster, but every John Doe has the light-lined fingers, gold in suit pockets, and the misses at home on Valium. Feet shuffle, and the red heels tap-toe, box and a note, twixt look on the crinkled peach lips, clasping a yellow dulled envelope. I regret being so rude, Tilly. Tilly, that snaggletooth gargoyle of a German woman, argued nonstop with the husband on her third husband herself, but a single blue rose on a box of chocolate, maybe a melt, is rising in her ribcage, sob to sleep and popping bonbons every Saturday. Clock clang struck at 3 a.m. Ripping cramps swell to the vomit-engaged burst. Vase of rainbow carnations crash within the blue rose. Screams of pain rip surprise dreams, sunrise dreams. Her chestnut door kicked in. Size of the physician. She grips her husband's hand. Tilly grins. She is the devil. End poem.
Ooh, creepy.
I thought that was brilliant. I really like that one.
Yeah. Wow. You think cramps swell into the vomit engaged burst, that face of rainbow carnations crushed with blue rose, screams of pain, ripped sunrise. Man, she is the devil. Wow. He survived. This is great. I don't know if you read his author notes, but this is actually a woman that poisoned three of her husbands and tried to poison her fourth, and actually he survived. That's great. This is a great poem. I'm glad my poem just was able to help you with this. The woman in the red dress becomes the serial killer. Fabulous, right? KCA, I really, really love that. Scott, you read it. What do you think?
Yeah, so I did, and I guess it was she poisoned up to 20 people with 14 of them dying. I did like the author's notes. But I have to say, and I hope JCA listens to this, listens to the playback of this, because I will confidently say I've read a lot of JCA's work, and I think this may have hit an all-time favorite of mine with this one. This one might, I mean, his other work is brilliant, but I think I love the way that this story is told. I love the structure of it, the way that it's not laid out. You know, it's not like she went to the store and did this. She did it. It's a mix. It's this beautiful mix of image, metaphor, storytelling and first-person perspective, but it's told in third-person perspective, but by the end, you feel that first-person perspective feeling, like you just feel like this is personal just because of the way that you wrote it, and I just love this style of writing. I don't know what kind of style it is. It reminds me of, like Sylvia Plath, you know, type writing, but in third person, as if you were telling a story about someone else. And I don't know how else to describe that type of writing. I guess that would be considered confessional writing. So it's almost like you use the confessional writing style, And then you took that style and you wrote a story instead of using it in the first-person perspective writing. And that might be confusing, and I hope you know that what I'm saying to you, Jay. And I just think I love that style. I love the confessional style writing. So the fact that you were able to turn that style writing into a third-person story, fabulous. I really enjoyed reading it. An honor. Thanks. Really love this one. Going to go on my list.
And Wayne, your thoughts?
I said, wow, this is a true story. I know J.C. has been to serial killers, and I've heard this before, but this one was great. Well written, had a great storyline, smooth, and Scott did a great job reading, too. A perfect read. Story well told is all I know, and I think it's a great point you did. Good job.
Yeah. So the last one tonight goes to Pee-wee, and I'm very excited to read this. Very happy. We end the night with a fabulous poem by him.
I think Pee-wee's in the audience.
He is in the audience. Supposed to give you my best Joe Friday. I'll do my best. So The Trail of the Devil by Pee-wee. On the Trail of the Devil. Sorry about that. The Windy City. Well, that much was true. As I arrived in town Tuesday, all I began eating is a bunch of hot air. Not a lot of work around for a professional booze. Hatchman, since the repeal of the Prohibition. Every two-bit Tom, Dick, and Harry out whooping it up on the streets like it's 1949. Goddamn Sodom and Gomorrah with an olive on a stick. Here I thought to myself, seeing the rampant throng of boozed-up hoods wandering the alleyways. Times have gotten real hard for me. Since I took on some work as kind of a freelance private dick as a favor to an old Joe Thompson. Great guy, friend of mine, lying on his deathbed. Last I had saw him, fever and syphilis to beat hell and rambling something about some she-devil in a red dress that had done this to him. I figured as a favor to his wife and kids, maybe I'd try to hunt this she-devil down for him, form an exorcism, you know? At least get some closure from Marge and the kids. That's what's brought me here, 3 feet deep in the seedy underbelly of the last great festering mine of humanity, mirror of humanity. Check my holstering, ankle clip. I threw a handful of sunflower seeds in my maw. Jesus, I thought as I pushed open the door to the Rusty Spoon Saloon and slowly gated in, chasing after a goddamn skirt of all things. Wouldn't Pops be proud? And home. This is great. Oh, this is fabulous. I love the whole, you know, 1940s, you know, dick kind of story going about it, trying to figure out why this dame has really made his friend as literally goddamn Sodom and Gomorrah. I love your wordage. I love the phrasing. I love how you're going after, you know, this little bitch that's done this, and how many men has she taken down, taking care of Marge and the kids for him. And I love the last line. That's what's brought me here, 3 feet deep in the seedy underbelly of the last great festering mirror of humanity. Great wording, great everything. I really enjoyed this. Thank you, because it kind of encompasses, like, the feel of my first poem, which I really, really enjoyed. So, Wayne, your thoughts on this?
Wayne.
This is a great, great poem. But, the way you read it was so good, but the wording, like you said, was great, and it was just like a great perspective of what he was going through. It was so personal, and he was inside of his mind the whole time. And I like what he said, it's part of like it's 1949, I think like it's 1999 in our days, but I guess he's still saying he was all partying. And it just stood on it, too. Great story, great words, and the way his perspective was great, and I liked the way it ended, even. It was great. Loved it.
And Sky.
Well, I was the one who was clapping. Fabulous. I am so glad that I read Jay, because I don't know if my voice, my tempo would have lent this as much justice as it deserves, and that you were able to pull off in your reading, which I thought was fabulous, by the way. I mean, there should be certain ways that poems should be read, and you can see it within the context. You could see it in the way that Pee Wee wrote certain things, like whooping. You know, you can see it in it. You could just see it in the way that it's written. And though I may have been able to say it in my head, you know, I don't think I caught off, you know, without caught off guard with just reading it cold. I don't think I would have been able to set that right. So I'm so glad that you read it, because you did such a fabulous job. You really did. The writing was just really cool. It was fun. It was fun, and it was clever. And it was done in such a speech tone, yet held the nuance of poetry, which is really cool. It reminded me of the how spoken word can just be regular dialect and still be poetry. And this, of course, isn't in the way of spoken word, but it's in the voice, in the speaker's voice, and yet it still holds poetry. And I just think it's so fun. And the storytelling was great. The details were great. I have to say my favorite part was, I mean, the section about the she-devil, I thought that was really, really, really fun. And then how he wrote, perform an exorcism, you know? Like, I thought that was really, just really fun to play with. And the ending, you already said the lines that I liked the best, which was the closing. I thought that was very thought-provoking, and it, just the verbiage. Yeah, this is really great. Great job. I'm so glad that you read this one, Sweet, because I really think you did a good job reading it. And Pee Wee did an awesome job writing it. Really well done.
Yeah, I got to say, this is like one of my favorites ever that I've read. It just rolled right off the tongue. It had like a performance feel to it. It was just something that would be on old-time radio that you got to read and have fun with. It was just, definitely it's going on my favorites list. I had so much fun with it. And you only do that when what you're reading is just fun. And I'm glad I got to read it. I definitely want to hear him read it, so I can't wait for his. I'm sure he'll do audio for us. But it was just a lot of fun to read, so thank you for bringing it. It just, like I said, fit the essence of the poem I sent to tell the rest of the story. So that was great. I really, really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. And that, if I am correct, check, we have finished the rest of the story tonight. I want to thank everybody for coming in. Thank you, Sky, for helping read. Thank you, Wayne, for coming in and reading. Thank you, Deb, and Akitor, and Jay Hatter, and A.P. Taylor, and all of you guys that wrote, Steven76, Pee Wee, and JCA, and Wayne, and Sky, and everybody else, thank you so very much. I had a lot of fun with this prompt. You guys are the best. I love you all, and we are just going to go ahead and say good night here on Sweet Discussions. You guys go and have a beautiful, beautiful rest of your evening. Or go to bed or start your day. I'm not sure where you're at in the world. So thank you very much, guys. Have a great one. I'll talk to you all soon. Oh, and
thank you,
Sky, don't forget to listen to the other audio I sent you. I think you'll enjoy it.
I will. Thank you. I put
right
on my list.
Good night.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. Good night, Wayne.